Sam knew before he spoke that it was vain, and that such words might do more harm than good, but in his pity he could not keep silent. "Then let me carry it a bit for you, master," he said. "You know I would, and gladly, as long as I have any strength." A wild light came into Frodo's eyes. "Stand away! Don't touch me!" he cried. "It is mine, I say. Be off!" His hand strayed to his sword hilt. But then quickly his voice changed. "No, no, Sam," he said sadly. "But you must understand, it is my burden, and no one else can bear it. It's too late now, Sam dear. You can't help me in that way again. I'm almost in its power now. I could not give it up, and if you tried to take it, I should go mad." Sam nodded. "I understand," he said. "But I've been thinking, Mr. Frodo, there's other things we might do without. Why not lighten the load a bit? We're going that way now, as straight as we can make it." He pointed to the mountain. "It's no good taking anything we're not sure to need." Frodo looked again towards the mountain. "No," he said, "we shan't need much on that road, and at its end nothing." Picking up his orc shield, he flung it away and threw his helmet after it. Then, pulling off the grey cloak, he undid the heavy belt and let it fall to the ground, and the sheathed sword with it. The threads of the black cloak he tore off and scattered. "There, I'll be an orc no more," he cried, "and I'll bear no weapon, fair or foul. Let them take me if they will." Sam did likewise, and put aside his orc gear, and he took out all the things in his pack. Somehow each of them had become dear to him, if only because he had borne them so far with so much toil. Hardest of all to part with was his cooking gear. Tears welled in his eyes at the thought of casting it away. "Do you remember that bit of rabbit, Mr. Frodo?" he said. "And our place under the warm bank in Captain Faramir's country, the day I saw an Olifant?" "No, I'm afraid not, Sam," said Frodo. "At least I know that such things happened, but I can't see them. No taste of food, no feel of water, no sound of wind, no memory of tree or grass or flower, no image of moon or star are left to me. I'm naked in the dark, Sam, and there's no veil between me and the Wheel of Fire. I begin to see it even with my waking eyes, and all else fades." Sam went to him and kissed his hand.
"Then the sooner we're rid of it, the sooner to rest," he said haltingly, finding no better words to say. "Talking won't mend nothing," he muttered to himself, as he gathered up all the things that they had chosen to cast away.